بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 17th of November in the year 2021 الحمد لله we've completed the 8th month the 240th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib radiyallahu. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned that the accursed Khawarij have brutally martyred Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Khabab and his family. And this greatly pained Sayyidina Ali. Why? For just a few short weeks prior to this, Khabab, the father of Abdullah, had also passed away. So despite the abominable and vile acts committed by the Khawarij, the Amir al-Mu'mineen did not first embark on fighting them. Instead, he wrote to them, commanding that they give up the killer to establish the punishment. So just as before, what did they say? In Ibn Abi Shayba, in his Al-Musannaf 15-308-9, Sahih, they answered with obstinacy and conceit, "We are all his killers." So note that they were united in their evil. If somebody committed an act, they would approve of it. Before taking any stronger measures, the Venerable Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu decided to give the accursed Ban one more chance. This time he would send a messenger. Hafiz ibn Kathir in his Al-Bidaya in the year 37 AH, it mentions, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu, he sent to the Khawarij a messenger from his side. He was Harith ibn Murra Abdi, rahmatullah alayh, and he was instructed to bring back information about them as well. However, when Harith reached them, they slew him, giving him no respite whatsoever. When Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu was informed of this barbaric act, he now resolved to tackle them first before proceeding once again to Ash-Sham. So, even in today's day and age, there is the universal flag of peace. If a messenger is sent, he is automatically given protection. But the Khawarij didn't even acknowledge this. So when Harith was sent with the message from Ali, whether he passed the message or not, we don't know, but they killed him. And then Ali radiallahu anhu now was resolved to tackle with them. The blessed army of the Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu thus marched out in the month of Muharram 38 AH. Refer to Hafiz Balazuri in his Ansab al-Ashraf 2-63 with a weak chain of transmission. So like I mentioned, 35 AH he became Amir al-Mu'mineen. 36 AH was the Battle of the Kamar. 37 AH was the Battle of Siffin. And now another year has entered. And this is the year where he's in a deal with the Khawarij. It is thereupon famously related by Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah in his Majmu Fatawa and Al-Bidayah 7-288. When the Amir al-Mu'mineen wanted to travel to fight the Kharijites, an astrologer came to him and said, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, radiyallahu, do not travel now, for the moon is in Scorpio. And if you travel when the moon is in Scorpio, you will be defeated." Sayyidina Ali responded, radiyallahu, "Rather I will travel, putting my faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prove that you are lying." He thus traveled and was blessed in that journey, and he defeated the Kharijites. So let's look at this. So now who's with him? You know, it's like Khawarij, Rawafid, rebellious, this, that. Now you got an astrologer. Where is he popped out from? And he's actually, you know, maybe he was sincere. Imagine saying this to Hazrat Ali. He goes, "I don't think he should go now." So he looks, he goes, "Why?" And like the astrologer threw with the stars. He goes, "Oh, the moon is in Scorpio. And if you travel when the moon's in Scorpio, you will be defeated." So Hazrat Ali says, "I'm going to put my trust in my Lord and I'm going to prove your lying." He deliberately traveled and defeated the Kharijites. But these are the reports. In Kanzul Omal, volume 5, page 235, Sayyidina Ali responded to the astrologer, there was no astrologer for Muhammad, nor for us after him. According to your business, the one who follows you should make you the guardian of his affairs instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I am given to understand that you are still looking into astrology, acting upon it, I will keep you in jail permanently. So what did he say? The key points. He goes, Rasulullah didn't have an astrologer. In fact, he condemned the astrologers. Because we didn't have astrologers. Then he said, your business is all about the opposite of tawakkul. Putting our trust in our Lord, you're putting your trust in the stars. And then he says, if you don't stop this, and I find out you're continuing, you'll be in jail and I'll throw away the key. In another report, Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh in Majmu Fatawa Al-Bidayah 7-288, when Sayyidina Ali finished in Nahrawan, he praised and glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said, had we marched at the time suggested by the astrologer, the ignorant who do not know would now have said, he marched at a time that the astrologer told him, and that is why he prevailed. So look at the wisdom of Sayyidina Ali. He goes, if I had listened to him, which I wouldn't, and we have defeated the Khawarij, you would have got people now saying, oh, because the moon was in Scorpio. Because that's why I did what I did. And in another report, Sayyidina Ali said, after defeating the Khawarij, in Kanzul Omal, volume 5, page 235, there was no astrologer for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor for us after him. Yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offered us access to conquering the lands of Khusro, Caesar, and all the other cities. O people, put trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rely on Him alone, and so He will then make you dispense with things other than Himself. So what did the little mu'mineen say? What lands did the believers take? The Persian and the Romans. With or without astrologers. So Hazrat Ali told him that, because did we need astrologers to take the land of the Caesars and the land of the Khusro? Of course we didn't. And then he said, if you put your trust in Allah the Almighty alone, then He will make you not in need of the things other than Himself. This is the highest level of tawakkul. So there's a minimum level and there's a maximum level. The minimum level is that you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but He's given you cause and effect and you can use that. So for instance, if somebody says to you, I'm ill, and he goes, I've got a headache, he goes, take a paracetamol. Is there anything wrong with that? No. Another person goes, blood pressure is high, take a tablet. Nothing wrong with that. But if another person who's stronger in his trust, he says, Allah gives the shifa, so I don't really need the tablet. That's a higher level. And the higher up you get, the less you need anything else, as Ali said. So obviously, Abu Bakr Siddiq, he didn't take medicine. He goes, you're ill, shall we call a doctor? He goes, Allah put me here. He's the one who can cure me. Why did Rasulullah take medicine? For us. Because he's the strongest. But he came down for us. That's why Hazrat Aisha learnt about medicine. So here Sayyidina Ali said this, and it's true. If you look at how on earth did these people defeat the Romans and the Persians, you know, think about that. Militarily, they were no match. Historically, they were no match. Resources, there were no match. Weaponry, there's no match. Then how did they win? So we say, oh yeah. Your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you put your trust in Him, Allah ta'ala goes, you don't need anybody, anything else. So Allah ta'ala proved it. And Hazrat Ali goes, so what's this astrologist? What are these people about? Why have they emerged again? Note that even under such troubled times, the Amir al-Mu'mineen was still seen educating the ignorant masses. Now think about that. You know, we think that, no, it's not time to, look, we've got to deal with this problem first. We'll sort him out afterwards. Even in those troubled times, he still, when there's an opportunity, he would educate. So now, astrology, what do we know about this? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he said, I do not see for those who do such an excuse before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I, they are doomed. I do not see for those who do such, i.e. learn about astrology, an excuse before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, i.e. they are doomed. This is in Bayhaqi 8-319, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf 8-414, Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf, Ad-Dur Al-Mantud 3-35 with a Sahih chain of transmission. So this is, first of all, is not from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's from Abdullah ibn Abbas. This is mawquf. But what do we know about Abdullah ibn Abbas in terms of his rulings?
He was very soft, because Bani Hashim was very soft to the people.
Okay. So he's Ahlul Bayt. The Ahlul Bayt, they were known for softness. Was he soft here? You would have thought he's in the same, well, you know, if you dabble in this, you know, as long as you don't go too deep into it, you know, it's that sort of approach. What did he say? I do not see for those who do such any excuse before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's fascinating that Abdullah ibn Abbas said that, meaning you got no excuse, don't go into this. Qatada, he similarly said, and this is recorded in Bukhari, Ad-Dur al-Mantur 3-43, Ibn Kathir's tafsir. He recited this verse, Surah Al-Mulk, Surah 67, verse 5. وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّ السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمُصَابِيحِ. And we have adorned the lowest heaven with lamps. He explained, Allah the Almighty created the stars for three reasons. Firstly, to decorate the sky. Secondly, as missiles against the shayateen. And thirdly, as guiding signs for travelers. Thus, whoever uses them for anything else has mistaken his way, lost his share, and burdened himself with that of which he has no knowledge. So let's look at this. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious, in Surah Al-Mulk, he says, I have beautified the lowest heaven with stars, or lamps, literally lamps. And what's interesting, Allah Ta'ala describes the stars as lamps. Right? So a person goes, why has he described them as lamps? Masabih. And there's a famous hadith collection called Mishkat al-Masabih. They're describing the hadiths as niches and lamps, and lanterns and lamps. But we just say Mishkat in it, mashallah. Masabih is lamps. Now, the ulama point out here that this is the lowest heaven, i.e. the universe that we're in. So maybe there's no stars in the second heaven. Think about that. Because the Quran seems to hint towards that. We have adorned the lowest heaven with lamps. So why is Allah Ta'ala, you know, singling out the lowest heaven? And it's for us. Why? Because he then explained, Allah Ta'ala has done this for three reasons. The stars. To decorate the sky. I.e. the night sky is beautified by the stars, especially when there's no light pollution. You know, you look and you're in awe. You're thinking, subhanAllah. The scholars say that when people actually feel weak in their iman, and they simply look at the stars, it strengthens their iman. And it's true. Because you look and you're just in awe thinking, Allahu Akbar, where's that come from? Secondly, as missiles against shaitans, shooting stars. And shooting stars, even though they're called stars, they're obviously other than this. But to the naked eye, it's a star. It's for the rebellious shayateen who tries to eavesdrop in the heavens. And that shows how strong they are. Because a shooting star is needed to kill them. Shows how strong and quick they are. Because if you look at a shooting star, even from our looking up at the heavens, it's moving at a tremendous pace. So what actually is the pace of that star? When you actually look into the heavens and you see a jet, it's crawling. But it's not crawling. It's, you know, three times the speed of sound, two times, I don't know what they say. And yet all you see is a little like an ant piece. And yet the shooting star, which is out of the atmosphere of the earth, look at the pace it's traveling. And the third is, it's a guiding sign for travelers. Now what does that mean? It means that, and even to this day they use this, if you follow a certain star, it will take you to a certain destination. It's a, like a map that Allah has given on the, in the heavens, so you can get around on the earth. And to this day, the pilots use this. If their instruments go a bit off, they go up, they ascend, and they use the stars to navigate their way to various points. Then what the Qatada say? Whoever uses them for anything else, so somebody adds to those three, direction, declaration, and dots, he goes, he is lost. He is burdened himself with no knowledge. So what was he referring to? Astrology? He goes, no, if these stars align and this planet goes here, then on Earth this will happen. Right? And then you think, well, it's bakwas in it. And he goes, what do you mean it's bakwas? Right? And he goes, I've learned this from, you know, the great scholars, right? Which scholars? In another place of the Quran, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he says, in Surah An-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 16, وَبِالنَّجْمِهُمْ يَهْدَدُونَ And by the stars, men guide themselves. And by the stars, men guide themselves. So obviously, ignoramuses quote this holy verse to prove there's nothing wrong with astrology. You know, you can play the games with the Quran. The Khawarij have played games, so it's appropriate we mention it here. Somebody goes, what are you talking about, brother? Allah says clearly, by stars, men are guided. It is referring simply to what Qatada mentioned, guiding signs for travelers, not for future. This is going to happen in the future. There's also another relevant report. Our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who keep track of the sun, the moon, and the stars so as to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in Tabarani, Bazar, Hakim in his Mustadrak, Sahih, Targheem number 161. So think about this. If you have a person who actually learns from the sun, moon, and stars to worship his Lord, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he's the best of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Namely, the timings of Salah. If I was to ask you what time Zuhr, people say 5 to 12. and he goes, well, you answered it, right? But I don't mean that. I mean, it's Shariat, Islamically. And he goes, eh? And he goes, well, it's 5 to 12, isn't it? And he goes, I know that, but Islamically, when Zuhr? And he doesn't know. And he goes, when the sun passes its meridian, the zenith. He goes, ah, okay. Right? So, how do you know that? You learn that from the sun. What time's Asr? And he goes, quarter past two, right? And he goes, yeah, quarter past two, but you know, what about the, it's to do with the shadow. Most of the scholars say one shadow length. The Hanafis say two shadow lengths. Again, with the sun. Maghrib, if you don't know when that is, you've got problems, right? Isha is when, according to most of the scholars, when the redness of the sun disappears. Then it's Isha, even though it's grey in the twilight. The Hanafis say when the grey disappears. So, that knowledge is that precious, yes, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of Allah, the Almighty servants, are those who keep track of the sun. But then he mentioned the moon. So the moon is for the months. When does Ramadan start? Everybody becomes mujtahid, you know, no, I've seen it over the Pacific, mashallah, look, yeah. Right, so when the moon enters, when the moon goes to the stages, the lunar month is completed. And what else did the Prophet ﷺ say? Stars. So why or how do we use stars to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the scholars, they say that this is in reference to traveling through the earth. When people would go to Hajj, they would travel using certain stars to get to the holy city. Subhanallah. Now it's all gone because you've got all gadgets. It's like the good old A to Z become a relic. If you give an A to Z to a person, now he goes, what's that? And he goes, this is how you got from A to B. You have to read a map. They'll say, what? They'll put tum-tum on, right? Tum-tum, mashallah. As our loving Lord himself said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Yunus, alayhi salatu wa salam, Surah 10, verse 5, هو الذي جعل الشمس ضياء والقمر نورا. It is he who made the sun to be a piercing light and the moon to be a reflected light. وَقَدَّرَهُ مَنَازِلَ لِتَّعْلَمُ عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِصَابِ And measured out stages for it, that you might know the number of years and the count of time. مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ No wise did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create this but in truth. يُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ. Those does he explain his signs in detail for those who understand. SubhanAllah. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he mentions why he's created the sun and the moon. He goes, I have created it, I have designed it to be in stages. It's a system. That's why it's called the solar system. You just hear these phrases, but we don't even think. But do we ever say to the teacher who put the system there? You ask that question, you might get detention, right? He goes, it's a system. Every, you know, football is a system. Manager has a system. System. And that system, where did that system come from? You called it a system. I didn't call it a system. And he goes, came from a bank, right? MashaAllah. The Quran then says that you might know the number of years and the count of time. So think about it. If somebody asks you, how old are you? What is he really asking? He's asking you about how many times has the solar year passed over you. Now imagine there was no sun. How old are you? I don't know, brother. There's no system. You know, when the cockerel crowed, come out, something like that. Back in village, that's what he used to say. He goes, the year of the flood, that's when my granddad was born. The year of the flood, that was Allah about. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ ذَٰلِكَ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. It is for no reason did Allah the Almighty create this, but with truth. All of this system he created in haqq, and he explains his signs in details for those who care to reflect. Ya'alamu. So astrology is a forbidden science. However, this is to finish. There is truth to astrology. It's witchcraft. So witchcraft, if you put it simply, it's a science. So you got O-level GCSE biology, A-level biology, degree biology, PhD biology. What does that mean? It means you're learning more about that same science. You can say the same for witchcraft. There's kindergarten witchcraft, nursery, then there's school witchcraft, then there's O-level witchcraft. But we can't even enter the kindergarten. It's forbidden for us. And where's the proof that it's a science? The famous hadith in Sahih Muslim, which is referred to as the boy and the king. An aged sorcerer told the king, I'm coming to the end of my life. Appoint a youngster so I can pass my knowledge unto him. And it's a long report, and he was learning witchcraft, the youngster, but eventually he turned to Islam. He left witchcraft. So that shows it's a science. You can only pass something on when there's a cause and effect. You can't just say, look, this just happens. But it's forbidden. So we don't go into it. Like people start asking, you know, they ask me as if I know about it. Because, you know, crystals, Brother Yusuf, crystals. You know, does that make witchcraft? I don't know. Why are you asking me? You shouldn't be even asking those questions. But probably it does. And the other thing which is interesting, if you look at the, you know, media, it's obsessed with witchcraft. You know, it's in kids' programs. Then you got the sleight of hand dynamos, right? Then I don't know whether he's using jinn. People are obsessed with it. Why? Because it's haram. Anything that's haram, shaitan will promote it. People are obsessed. I want to become a magician. Right? Sabrina the teenage witch, what's all that about? Remember that one? I went, you know, what's all this about? Right? Right? Innocent, nice tune with it. But they're promoting haram. Now what is it? There's another one right there. Astaghfirullah. What do you know? Astaghfirullah. Right? So, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he taught us a valuable lesson that if he had set out to deal with the Khawarij when the astrologer had told him not to, they may have been defeated. Allah's help would have left them. But he did that to show to them that this was completely forbidden. So all I mentioned today was basically now Amir al-Mu'mineen heading towards the Khawarij and touching upon the subject of astrology. Astrology is not astronomy. Astronomy is a blessed science. What's the difference? Astrology is when you say the stars affect the future. Right? Astronomy is when you investigate the heavenly bodies. There's nothing wrong with that. It's fine. So don't get confused between the two. Famous hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever approaches a fortune teller, his salat will not be accepted for 40 days. Even if you don't believe, meaning you can't even approach the fortune teller or astrologer. And if you believe the Prophet ﷺ, what he says, you have disbelieved in what I have brought. You become a kafir. So a person goes, well, I will never go to a gypsy in a tent. Well, that's just one way of doing it. Now shaitan's put it all over the place. You look at your, you know, your mobile phone, people go into their thingy, star signs. Haven't you approached the astrologer? But I don't believe it. The Prophet didn't put that condition there. He goes, you've approached them. Right? So you go, no, brother, astaghfirullah, I don't want to know about this. Everybody knows their star sign. Look how interesting. What's your star sign? I'm Aries. Who told you that? You learnt it. Astaghfirullah. Aries. And you always nangar as well. I think, what are they all nangar for? You know, put catch on in it. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وواصلوا الحق وواصلوا السلام